The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's good morning to Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, genetic testing that might lead to brighter children. Explain.
Yes, well, The Guardian deserve credit for this, but they've a big article on a company called Heliospect in America. And Heliospect will take embryos, screen them, and tell you which one to implant in IVF to give the child 6 extra points in their IQ score. So, now, this sounds most unusual, but can you imagine, Pat, if you could do that? And 6 points is not insignificant. The average IQ score is about 100. So what this means is the child might do better in the Leaving Cert, that kind of thing. Now, that's a bit flippant. But it's the first time ever, Pat. It's an important thing because it's the first time ever a company is offering to screen embryos to predict intelligence in the genetics. Yeah. You give them 100 embryos through IVF, they screen them, look for these genetic features, and so that one has a much higher chance of having 6 extra IQ points eventually when the child is born. So it's quite a serious thing, really.
Now, they don't do the IVF themselves.
They don't. No, they give you the prediction, which embryo to select, basically, and then an IVF company then will do that part of it.
So the IVF company helps you to produce the embryos, and then they're shipped off, frozen, I presume, or chilled or whatever, to this company.
How much
do they charge for that?
That's the next bit, $50,000. Now, would you pay that
for an extra 6 points?
For 50 grand, they'll tell you which embryo to implant to increase the likelihood. Now, it's a bit statistical because obviously they can't guarantee this, but the chances of the child that's born being smarter is higher with that embryo and not that one.
We know already that screening is done for certain conditions.
It is. The question is, but how are they doing this? There's a thing called the UK Biobank. That's a very famous thing in my business. 500,000 people gave up their DNA for sequencing, and they got loads of data on those people. Now, things like heart disease, cancer, were revealing all these genes for these diseases. But guess what? They've also got education and attainment. And they can look at the genes of 500,000 people, figure out which set of genes would predict a good educational score, and that's the algorithm they're using. They're saying, if you have these particular set of genes, that child could do better in education.
But you could be a Michael Smurfit who has a huge attainment in life but didn't get a college degree.
Well, that's the next thing. That's the other thing that's strange about this. But there are, we know intelligence is partly genetic. That's agreed, by the way. But it's very complex. There's maybe 500 different genes, variants, giving tiny contributions to this. So it's a complicated thing. But there is evidence intelligence is partly genetic. But of course, the controversy is it's also environmental. It's your upbringing and your support and all those kinds. It's not just genetic, basically. But still, you can use these algorithms to try and predict it.
The other question I thought of last night when thinking about this is, you know, we've talked before about epigenetics, how your DNA may actually change throughout life because of the impact of life on you. So therefore, when they're looking at these, the sample, they don't know what the basic DNA was. These are adults who gave their DNA. They don't know what the baby's DNA was.
No, precisely. And you can't see these marks in this situation either. So that's missing from this study. So again, it's a bit statistical. So in other words, if you have the following genes, there's a good chance your child will do better educationally is the overall idea. But you're right, though. There's many things about intelligence, not just the genes.
Now, suppose you go along with this. You have the $50,000 to spend on this and you select an embryo for implantation because it's going to give you 6 more points on your IQ score. What are the chances of success?
Well, that's the next thing. This is the other ethical thing. So at the moment, IVF, 18 to 34-year-old women, there's a 33% chance of success. If you're over 40, it's less than 10%.
So it's 1 in 3 or 1 in 10, depending on your age.
So you spend the 50 grand, you've only got a 1 in 3 chance of that embryo implanting anyway, or even 1 in 10 if you're over 40. Now, they know this. The couples, they reckon 12 couples have gone through this, by the way. The Guardian has revealed that, and 5 of them have taken it all the way. So you know, it's happening. And the couples are prepared to put the money up, I suppose, and take a chance on this.
Okay, so suppose you go along with it. There are ethical considerations, aren't there?
There are. Well, the thing, geneticists worry about this, and the ethicists are, it's a minefield, obviously, because if you think intelligence is genetic, then you don't worry about social considerations to improve people's performance or whatever it might be, you know? And that's very damaging, isn't it? It's like Brave New World in a way. If that's called genetic determinism. In other words, you're set in stone that your intelligence will be whatever it might be. And that means you can have less responsibility in terms of upbringing in a way. So it's very ethically
difficult. To hell with nurture, just get on with nature.
Why invest in that kid's education? Now, this is obviously Brave New World territory. Yeah. Remember, Pat, there was different categories in that novel. The Omega Semi-Moron had the worst genes and that kind of thing. You know? So it's very, very challenging ethically that this would be the case. You know?
Okay, now what are the rules at the moment about screening for certain things? I mean, for example, if you think of cystic fibrosis and if you have IVF, and you might think, well, if I have a choice of embryos, maybe I would like one to pass on one to my child to guarantee they won't get CF, and therefore it will not carry down through the bloodline.
That's where this is heading, of course, to do that screening along. They can do screening for these things anyway, like for Down syndrome during development, obviously. But you can screen for certain things already. The big question is, can you correct those genes? That'll be the next step, ultimately. Could you correct the genetic defect in an embryo and then the child is born without that defect? That's the positive side of this, I suppose. But this cognitive thing is...
But you know the way in CF, if depending on whether both partners have it or one or whatever, you know, you can actually eliminate.
You can. You can, absolutely.
You know, by selecting an embryo that doesn't have it.
Precisely. Yeah. You can do that very much so. Yeah. And in this case, it's a bit more complicated. I think the other big ethical concern here would be what I call ride-on effects, which is a strange term. So you might select certain genes for a certain trait, but then there could be some other trait that gene is also involved in that gets enhanced. So it's a bit...
Now we're free to do that in the animal kingdom, I suppose, you know, because... no one's really asking the questions, but with humans, it's a bit more dodgy. What animals have they tried this?
Well, the best one is they're called super chickens.
Super chickens.
So they selected chicken embryos based on their genes to be egg layers. And they managed to produce a chicken that could lay a lot more eggs per unit time. Yeah. And if you're an egg farm, that's really useful. The chicken is able to lay more eggs.
I feel there's a butt coming on.
But guess what? The chickens that emerged from these embryos were highly aggressive. And when they stuck them in among the other chickens, they began attacking and pecking the other chickens to death. Isn't that amazing? They became so aggressive. So whatever that trait was that enhanced egg laying, that particular variant also made the chickens more aggressive. And that we're in the realm now of stuff that's unpredictable. And you never know. If you pick a certain set of genes for intelligence, you might end up with a child with another trait that you didn't quite anticipate. And that's a risk. And I suspect Heliospect have got some rider in their contract so you don't sue them later for this kind of thing. But still, that's a concern as well.
The unintended consequences.
Exactly.
Now, how did they get access to the biobank data?
Well, that's the other controversial thing, because anybody can access the biobank for good reasons to help humanity.
Who runs it, the biobank?
It's the UK government.
UK government.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's for the greater good. The goal of this is, can you find genes linked into disease X and then you learn about that disease and maybe target that with a new therapeutic, for instance, you know? But this is something a bit different. Now the biobank have said they're not breaking the law, Heliospect. You can do this in the US. You can't do it in the UK. The UK doesn't allow embryonic screening for IQ, but you can do it in the US. And Heliospect is a US company now, but they have had access to this UK government data.
So the UK government had no qualms about handing over this data to Heliospect.
Isn't it strange?
Even though they wanted to do something that you could not do within the law in Britain.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so now there's a question mark over this. Now Biobank have defended themselves and said that Heliospect said it was to do with complex traits, and intelligence is a complex trait. And we may learn from this, of course. You never know. There could be something useful out of it. But still, that's another question that the Guardian have raised.
A text from a listener. Can we breed children to be highly intelligent and empathic, but not greedy? If, in fact, greed is a genetic trait, because high intelligence and greed is a dangerous combination.
Really good question. These are very complex things. It won't simply be genetic is the problem. And as you say, there's epigenetics on top of the genetics that influence these things. So it's unlikely to be as simple. Maybe in 100 years' time because of AI. And by the way, Pat, they're using AI here because you've got this very complicated, like 500 genes, 500,000 people, the health records, educational records have to be mixed up, and then you get it's called a polygenic score comes out of it. So it's not trivial what they're doing here.
Okay, and how many genes do they think might be contributing to intelligence?
Yeah, they reckon at least 500.
500
genes? At least 500 genes contribute to intelligence. And you might have a different set to me. You see this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
One of them, the most famous one is called FOXO3, which is quite a good name. Foxes are smart. So FOXO3, there's a variant in that. But it's complicated. It's a mix of different genes, all giving a tiny contribution combined.
Did you ever have your IQ tested?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I never did.
I did it myself voluntarily.
I used to do the Mensa tests from time to time, you know.
I'd be terrified. It'd be very low pay.
No chance. No chance. Anyway, food for thought there. The ethical and moral dilemmas of tricking around with the DNA to produce particular traits in children. And even, although I suppose selecting one particular egg on the basis of whatever the criterion is, well, you're going to implant one or t'other.
So, true. Yeah.
The lottery anyway.
The lottery anyway, exactly.
You never know what you're going to end up with.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.